My name is Mike, and I'm an alcoholic. I was going to say it's a pleasure to be here, but if I'm completely honest, I don't really want to be here right now. On the stage, I mean. Speaking, I mean. Just kidding. I don't mind actually speaking, but I have a little bit of a problem with this topic, this one. Easy does it, but do it. In fact, I would find it easier to talk about last year's topic. Does anyone remember last year's topic? What's the point of that question? Yeah, I don't know. Half measures avail us nothing. That I could talk about, but this easy does it, but do it, that is a little bit foreign to me. Because and bear with me here. Isn't that the opposite? I mean, which is it? Half measures avail us nothing? Or easy does it? Which is it? I don't know. But anyway, I hope to, by my little presentation speech, I hope to have presented some sort of an answer tonight. So I'm going to talk about my early recovery, how it applied then, and then try to walk up to what my life is like now and how I apply this principle. So before I begin, I can also say I've had the honor and privilege of being on a committee for the past few years of the North Sea Convention, and I read these evaluation forms, maybe that's a heavy word, these what could we do better forms at the end of the year. So I know firsthand that there is no such thing as a perfect speaker, that someone's great speaker is someone else's worst nightmare, that somebody is too polished or not polished enough, or someone doesn't talk enough about their drunkenness, or that there's not enough solution. So I'm going to do what I can in honor of this slogan, easy does it. I'm going to do my best. So to begin, my early recovery was the opposite of easy does it, but do it. I had the simple strategy, and I kind of recommend it for anyone who wants to be rocketed into the fourth dimension. I just basically did everything against my natural nature. I was desperate enough. I needed a new life. So basically every instinct I had, I just went against it. I didn't want to go to meetings. I went to meetings. I didn't want to share at meetings. I sat there in a meeting not wanting to share. I shared. I think it was a couple years, it was just fighting against my nature in a way, in an aggressive way, but, you know, moving away from my old life. That's what I knew. And it worked for a while, until, of course, as things usually do, it didn't work anymore. And what did I want to say here? Yeah, so I think it began to manifest. I became aware of it maybe 5 years sober, to where I was constantly on edge, kind of like looking over my shoulder, you know, waiting for everything to fall apart. And I was always talking with my sponsor, kind of like, am I doing enough? Am I working the steps right? And then I kind of realized, he said something to me that made me realize something. And he said, life will happen, something painful will happen, and that pain will address what areas you need to work on. And I'm like, what? I have to experience pain? Because that made me first realize that somehow I was trying to work these 12 steps perfectly. It was the idea that if I did them perfectly, I wouldn't experience pain. That life would be this great flow. Everything would come together. So I guess I began to kind of come to terms with this, maybe this idea of easy does it. But then another part of my personality is I can be a bit, for lack of a better word, anal with language. And maybe a nicer way to say it is I'm a writer. But I thought, well, looking at that word, like, what does it mean exactly? Easy does it. What exactly does that mean? Are they saying just half-ass it? Maybe. So let's look to the literature, right? It's you find it on page 135, if I'm not mistaken. And the context is, it's to the family afterwards. And the context is about this AA guy who had quit drink, but his wife, his nagging wife, I don't have a wife. Just kidding, I do. Sorry, but anyway, that's not there. His nagging wife said, I don't like how you still smoke. I find that sinful. Which, honestly, I can kind of understand that. I mean, whatever, smoking's okay. I don't have anything against it. But that kind of makes sense. But then she said, and I don't like that you drink coffee. That I don't understand. But anyway, to this nagging wife, it wasn't enough that he also smoked and drank coffee. And then the big book says he relapsed. He got a big resentment against his wife and relapsed. The book is careful to point out this guy was not right. He was wrong. However, the point of this story is we should... Yeah, that he eventually made amends, he got sober, he was a good member of Alcoholics Anonymous, and he drank coffee and smoke. And then the only italicized words in the Big Book come, it says, what is it? First things first, live and let live. Easy does it. So it's this kind of context, I suppose, that... we should celebrate the miracle of the sober alcoholic. But I decided to go a step further, maybe going against Easy Does It. And bear with me here. I'm doing a little bit of very short, brief AA history. And I'm sure if I make mistakes, we can have Casey apologize for every mistake I make. She'll make a public service announcement tomorrow, make all these redactions. So don't worry about that. We can fix that. But I can tell you, I did extensive internet research. I looked at least one internet website. So Easy Does It. But this is coming from Silkworth.net, trying to find the origins of this Easy Does It. And the point is, a very early recovering drunk actually did the rooms with Bill. Met a man named Al. Now follow with me. Al's mother was a secretary to Emmett Fox. Emmett Fox was apparently a big spiritual figure at that time. And this I found interesting, and I also found this kind of, in my own weird way, heartwarming, because, you know, there's always divisions and people bickering. And so in early AA, there was, I don't know if they were bickering, but there was two factions of AA. There was the Akron, Ohio AA, and there was the New York AA. And the Akron, Ohio AA apparently was very... very total Christian, using language like God and Jesus and Heavenly Father. And the New York was New York, using words like higher power and great creator, great spirit, for lack of a word, more liberal. So anyway, this so the Akron, Ohio guys, again, quoting this kind of early language of where maybe the big book's coming from and as Easy Does It, they would be fine with Jesus on his Sermon on the Mount. And I quote from Jesus translated to English. Jesus says, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow..."
will take care of itself.
Well, no, it's more poetic than that. "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." So there you go. Jesus saying one day at a time. And then Emmett Fox, the you know, more fashionable, kind of like Deepak Chopra of the day, has this Sermon on the Hill, reinterpreting this. And I'm getting to my Easy Does It, and then we'll close. The Sermon on the Hill, I quote, he says, "Try not..." This is Emmett Fox, Sermon on the Hill. I quote, "Try not to be too hurried." He's talking about opening a door. This is his great metaphor. "Try not to be tensed or hurried. You know, if you try to unlock a door fast, the key gets stuck. But if it is stuck, the thing is to stop pressing, take a step back." And here is the key. He says, "To push hard with willpower will only it'll only get the key stuck." And then I began to kind of understand this Easy Does It more. Then it began to speak to me in the sense of relax and let the higher power come through. Because just like all my amount of willpower was not going to stop my drinking. I mean, I tried. I had to somehow try a new way of life that was ego deflating and allowed a higher power to enter in. And I think with step 6 and 7, it applies. It's this idea, I wake up and... I'm going to be like tolerant of others today, right? And I don't even ask for help with that. I just think on my own willpower, I'm just going to be tolerant of others, right? And I don't get very far. And this is how it applies to my life today. And then we can close. But I'm super big. It's my experience. It really helps me. A regular step 11 meditation practice. And I notice myself when I do 15 minutes a day. It's not like I'm some great guy or anything. But just sitting there, trying to follow my breath, failing, realizing that I've like lost myself in thought again. This practice just carries to my day. And somehow, it starts the connection, it starts the relaxation. And now that I've been able to integrate this into a daily practice, I just notice, I notice being relaxed, and I notice small transformations. Because another thing I noticed, I was willing to ask for the higher power's help with things like stopping drinking, or maybe with money and getting a job. But I would never ask for it like in a social situation, because I'm as many people might relate in this room, I am not very, like, I have social anxiety. And so one final story, and then we'll wrap this up. I think I've said that now the third time, but I promise you. I developed this terrible flight anxiety for a while. It doesn't matter how I got it, but the point is, for a couple years, because I had to continue flying, every time I would get on a flight, and they would be long flights, the first 3 or 4 hours, I was convinced I would die. I was just waiting for the crash to happen. And in my mind, I would just like think about, did you live your life right? And I would just see my life and question my whole life approach. Good news is, I felt solid about my way of living. But 3 to 4 hours in, I finally began to believe I wasn't going to die. And then eventually, a couple years later, dealing with this constant panic, I was on a flight. Luckily, it was very smooth. And after 30 minutes, I was finally bored. Like, my mind wasn't screaming, you're going to die! And then I looked around, and I was bored. So I'm like, what do I do? I'll get a book and read. And it was great. And I say that to foreshadow this. This is recent happening, and I attribute this to maybe just time, but I attribute it to my meditation practice. I was at a party, and I typically hate parties, and yes, there was alcohol, but it was totally normal drinking. Nobody was out of line. And somehow in the middle of this party, I just looked around. I realized for the very first time, I wasn't on edge. Like, I wasn't totally like, how do I get out of here? Where's the exit? I was relaxed for the very first time in my life. And then I looked around. I'm like, this is probably how most people feel at a party. Like, this isn't so bad. That was the very first time I've ever experienced that. And that's all. How did I want to close this? Yeah. So that brings me here to where I am now at the North Sea Convention. As I said, I've had some experience in the past. Every year, I've been a little less stressed out. And even this year, it worked up until last night. I was kind of thinking about the slogan, easy does it, but do it. And I thought, you know what? It'll be fine. Easy does it, but do it. And it worked up to last night. This morning, it was gone. But last night, it was great. And so going back to our final question, or the beginning question, so which is it? Is it half measures avail us nothing? Or is it easy does it? Like, what is the proper approach? Yeah? And I don't think there's some sort of nice answer. Like, well, it's both. I think there's some situations that require a little bit of, like, half measures avail us nothing. I think there's some approaches that require, you know, the relaxing, allowing the flow. And luckily, and I'll end with this, we have another tool in AA, the Serenity Prayer, which says, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. So thank you for your attention.